I'm live.
Actually, we're never quite live.
No?
Well, we're not.
Oh, it's recorded, yeah. But right now...
We're recording live!
That's right. We are recording live.
We are recording live.
Yeah.
We're not dead.
That's true.
And we are recording.
It's just not...
live broadcast.
Live broadcast, there you
we
go.
We should do that sometime.
Yeah?
Yeah, we can do that through something like the real Instagram.
Yeah.
What do they call that?
Are you planning on using your mic this morning?
Oh.
Hello? You know, maybe sometimes I should just not have a microphone that forces me to...
The funny part was you were looking directly at me. You know, it's like
the vision was so clear. Never so been so uninhibited. No, I got this in my face.
There you go. Now you're good.
Good call, though.
Hey, I try. I'm not real technical, but occasionally I can spot something, you know? I'm a noticer.
Yeah. Good thing we weren't doing this live. Anyway, that'd be fun sometime to do that. I don't know if we'd have anybody watching, but well, we could try.
There you go.
All yes. Right.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today, Mark?
Well, I was thinking about what...
Do you have any preamble?
A preamble? No, I don't have a preamble this morning.
To the podcast.
But I was thinking about it in the context. We were talking about, you know, Mia and, you know, just kind of thinking about years ahead. And I was curious, based on your late teens, okay, as far as what pressure did you feel to have an occupation? Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
I mean, I think it's part of the process of growing up. You get asked, what do you want to do after school?
Yeah. One thing that was nice is basically as soon as I turned 16, I started painting in the summers.
Okay.
And so that was good in the sense of it relieved some tension in terms of I have to figure it out, which I actually think helped me to decide more easily, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But no, I had a mentor, a friend who kind of advised me based on some of my specific skill sets I had already exhibited, which he basically said I should look into graphic design, that kind of thing. And I was like, I don't think I would have ever pegged myself for that, except for that advice.
Sure.
And then once that bug was set, I was like, yeah, I really, really want to do that. And yeah.
So that was something you were thinking about before graduation, is the graphic design stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, to the degree where I was trying to do some at-home college stuff even before graduating.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And I ended up... I can't remember why that's... I can't remember exactly how that went down, but it ended up not doing the rest of it because I think it just wasn't a very good...
Okay.
The material. Or some material.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have a good answer for that.
It's okay.
What about you?
I can remember, you know, I can remember a variety of answers to that question, you know, from early, you know, kind of like adolescence up through, you know, my mentor was a riflesmith, so I was going to be a riflesmith.
There, oh, nice.
There was a while there that I was going to be a helicopter pilot, and then there was a while there I was going to be a Marine, and then, you know, all that kind of stuff.
How many of those did you do?
those are still on the chat. Those are still on the bucket list, I guess. If I really come down to it. But and it's kind of interesting. You were talking about, you know, your painting.
You think the Marines will take you now?
I don't think so. I think I'm aged out.
You might want to cross that off.
I think over 50. You know, I think I
could
just
you be like a chaplain.
I don't know. Yeah, possibly. I've been asked to be a chaplain.
Put it back
before,
on the bucket list. But, have you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why didn't you do it? Did you do it?
No.
I mean, nothing's off the table.
Nothing's off the table. But no, that was like for the sheriff's department type thing, you know. Yeah. But it was a thought.
That'd be an interesting other conversation.
Yeah.
Chaplaincy, because I don't understand it.
But I gotcha.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So all those.
But those things were all on the table. And for me, you know, I can remember this conflict growing up, you know, as far as what I was going to do. And I also knew, based on who my parents were, you know, and their requirements, that I was not going to leave the Pratt household without a form of college education.
Oh, okay.
That was definitely, you know, I was not, you know, looking forward to college. But yet, you know, in school, there was a definite amount of pressure. You know, a lot of your, you know, all your SATs and, you know, you take all these tests to be able to, you know, get into college and, you know, get your tuitions. And I can remember that kind of, you know, pressure and comparison, you know, what you got on your SAT scores. Yeah. And, you know, the only reason that I was able to kind of, I shouldn't say get out of the house, but, you know, I talked my mom into basically construction. I was allowed to go to a 2-year school, you know, a trade school, if you will. And that sufficed that requirement as far as getting an education before I left the house, you know, because I'd actually looked into, I actually went and toured a school to be a phys ed teacher even.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it, and you know, from my perspective at that point, it was like too much like having, I mean, who doesn't like gym class?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, this is continual gym class, you know, and it seems kind of,
that's right.
It didn't seem like something I wanted to necessarily be doing, but at the same time, you know, it was one of those things I was checking off and visited schools, you know, I visited schools, that kind of thing. Hmm. But, and it was just, it was one of those things that I just had really very little interest in further education at that point, just because of who I was.
So, and if that was not an interest, then what was your mindset of like, well, I would just do this. I'd rather not go to school because I'd like to do this thing.
Yeah,
it was a helicopter pilot. All those things you mentioned, except for the Marines, I guess, would have to have some school, right?
Yeah, I mean, an education of sorts, yes.
Okay.
But at the same time, the mentor that I had, you know, I kind of saw him as that ability to go through like a journeyman process type, you know, thing that probably...
Like a Padawan. What's the word for that?
You got me on Padawan. I'm thinking Star Wars now at this point.
I know. Jump the track. Apprentice.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. Journeyman apprentice.
So that was kind of like top of mind for you. So I could just do that.
That was an option. And granted, the helicopter pilot was through a military, you know, option. It wasn't necessarily, you know, something that I was going to.
How'd your parents feel about the military idea?
Mom wasn't necessarily as supportive of it. You know, she was a little more fearful of it.
Dad, I feel like most moms.
Yeah.
That's probably.
And then my dad had been in the military. So of course he would have been.
Know that.
Yeah. He was, you know, he was in the Army. He was actually in that's kind of a neat story I found out about Christmas. He was actually in between the Korean War and the Vietnam War. And back then he was, you know, and some of his buddies, of course, they were actually drafted. My dad was, you know, part of the draft in that era. Oh, wow. Yeah. And it was kind of neat because he did his 2 years. He was drafted for 2 years. And he basically said, you know what? I felt a calling, he said, to stay in the military. And he actually, you know, a lot of his buddies got out in their 2 years, but he re-signed for another 3 years and just stayed in. But he did say, you know, by the time Vietnam was starting to heat up, he was starting to sweat it a little bit, you know, that he might get, you know, extended, you know, for the Vietnam War. And he wasn't necessarily looking forward to that. But at the same time, he you know, did his 3 year, you know, total of 5 years and then got out and he wasn't extended or anything like that. But yeah, it was just so he had, you know, he would definitely have a different, he would have had no issues with me being in the military, that kind of thing. But yeah, mom wasn't necessarily, didn't share that viewpoint.
Yeah.
To the same degree.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So granted, what?
She wasn't, you know, anti-military or anything. Yeah. It was just that concern of, yeah, so what might happen.
What route did you take?
What route did I take? I ended up going and getting a degree in carpentry and building constructions technologies.
Well done.
It's like, I don't think you can make a carpenter sound more complicated than that, you know, really is what it was. But yeah, it was, that was a great experience for
me.
Was
it really?
Oh, it really was.
Why? Just very hands-on.
Very hands-on.
Yeah, apprenticeship style.
Yep, to where, you know, it was definitely apprenticeship style. We had, my kids, they still hear the stories, you know, and they still, my kids know names of people they've never met just because the stories are that way, right. You know, and then I actually was able to catch up with a buddy of mine, Dean Dunkelberger.
Dunkelberger.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Over,
that's a good name.
Over Christmas. We hadn't seen
good
each other.
Dunkelberger.
Exactly. Yeah. That was his name. Dunk, you know, that kind of thing. But, I actually was able to catch up with him. He's still in the trades.
He's not fictional, right?
No, he's not fictional. Yeah. Yep. But,
good name.
It is. It's a solid name.
Solid. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, him and I were great friends. He was actually a tradesman. I mean, when you think of craftsman, you know, he's that kind of person in my era. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't say that lightly. I just think when I look back at like post beam construction, when you were bit bracing everything, you know, and using a hand, you know, when you were drilling and you had to hew things by hand, you know, with a adze or, you know, when you're actually, those guys were craftsmen in my opinion.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? When you have power tools.
You don't watch enough YouTube videos.
But I just recognize that my era has a lot of the blessings of power tools.
Yeah.
And you can buy lumber, you know, milled
dimension.
Yeah. Dimensional lumber, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, that kind of thing. So for me, you know, it's.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
It would be like comparing baseball players pre-steroids, you know, to some, you know, those records and so forth. But either way, yeah, he is, you know, what I would consider a craftsman in my generation, you know, as far as that goes. But I went there, ended up going there for 2 years. Like I say, we built city buildings. It was actually it's now Pentec or Pennsylvania College of Technology. It was based in Williamsport, PA. And the school, what was really neat, the school had a really good, the administration at the school had built an alliance with the city of Williamsport.
Okay.
So we actually did city buildings. We built city projects. You know, I remember working on, you know, bus garages, land blocks and, you know, and putting roofs on and pouring flat work for the concrete in the garages, you know. So it was really a good partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how the labor worked out or the insurance, you know, worked for the, but yeah, I can remember, you know, just doing a lot of stuff like that to where it was really hands on. And then, you know, we'd actually go like the logging. There was a logging part of the school as well. And we'd go up and build up their buildings, you know, when they needed to and that kind of thing, whenever there was an expansion, you know. So, yeah, it was a really hands-on thing. And, you know.
Well, what's cool about that idea, going to school for carpentry, right?
Sure.
Is, you're going to learn from someone who wants to teach.
Sure.
I just think about a lot of trades, you know, you kind of enter in as a, you know, a junior greenhorn, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you're immediately met with the ornery seniors who just don't want you there. You're just slowing them down. And, you know, like, I think that, honestly, I think, you know, when you talk about trades versus, you know, non-trades, whatever, I feel like a lot of people are turned off to trades because of that.
Really?
Yeah, where they did that in the summers as a kid or whatever, but like,
didn't,
you know, they moved on to bigger, better things, quote unquote, went to college or whatever, because there was no appeal to spend any more real time in that. There was not an idea that this could be a career, because who wants to be,
you know,
in an environment like that? Because I think that is one of the, you know, if we're talking about trades versus what do we call the other side? I don't know.
Higher education, maybe?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Whatever those jobs are, white collar, blue collar, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
But I do feel like there's, there could be some rough characters. But actually, that's true on both sides. Obviously, you can have your corporate jerks, you know, too. But I don't know. I definitely worked with some jerks as a painter. But they also taught me a lot, and you know, there was some fun times, but also there was some like just beat down times where you know, they were in a bad mood, so there was nothing you could do right. You know what I mean? And I just feel like that's not a good way to teach someone the value of a trade and to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like what you're describing, actually going to school for carpentry, that sounds like a novel concept. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone. I'm sure that's a thing. I've just never heard of it.
And I think so much, I'm thinking about it, you know, and I think it's kind of sad in my opinion. I think, you know, when I grew up, granted, there's a lot of things that have changed, but, you know, we had this vocational aspect that was part of school, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, you had...
The rifleman thing?
No. That was Sportsman's Club, but, you know, VOAG was like FFA or Future Farmers of America, that kind of thing. And then you still had like a formal shop class.
Yeah.
Or you had, you know, metallurgy type stuff, you know, where you were actually equipping people, you know, to have to go into trades, you know, and that kind of thing, which I think is a valuable thing. And I think, you know, we've given so much. We've taken so much focus to higher education. I think some of that has gone away.
Well, I
and
think
yet there's still a need.
Yeah. I think it's shifted, actually. I think there's a lot more computer classes,
which
is kind of our, you know, generation's version of what you're describing.
Sure. No, I
get
that.
You know what I mean? Where we're prepping them to understand how computers work, and because, you know, we're prepping them for the work world, which is, you know, computers is a big part, and now phones, obviously, but so I think it still happens, it just looks different, and there's less shop classes and more computer rooms, you know what I mean?
No, I hear you there,
but there's a sadness,
and I think there's still that aspect of, you know, a myth, if you will, you know, you have to go to college to, you know, get a good education in order to be a successful person.
Right.
I guess I would see that as part of the myth that, you know, I grew up under in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, and by all means, when I say that, I'm not anti, you know, higher education, that kind of thing.
See.
And yet I also recognize, you know, I think there's an ability to, I think it's, and I don't want to necessarily just break it down to, you know, income. You know, I think, you know, different people are designed with different abilities for different reasons and for purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and to basically say, and it's a little, I can remember one of the construction people, it's like, so, you know, you want to be a carpenter, you want to be in construction, grab a shovel, you know, cause I mean, that's the reality in some cases, you know, it's like, you're going to start out in the ground and you got to build your way up. You know, that was the, you know, everybody wanted to, I would grab a hammer, or, you know, that kind of thing. But it's for me today, you know, It's just fun when I can grab a shovel and start digging in the ground. That's just part of who I am, you know, in that process. I don't mind. And even, you know, even John, you know, he doesn't mind like digging a ditch. Not that we want to dig a ditch all day, but it's like one of those things that you just, it's kind of like mowing the lawn. It's very therapeutic for me to be able to just dig, you know, with a shovel. And I, you know, I think that's just part of my makeup.
Call it shovel therapy.
Shovel therapy. But yeah, you know, to where I think people are designed differently, you know, and you know, I think there are people who, you know, higher education, you know, a college education is definitely their thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there may have been a time, and I'm, you know, I'm thinking about it a little more where, you know, we've taken kids and made them say, well, you know, you gotta get a college education. Yeah. And I don't think that's necessarily for everyone. Yeah. And I think in that process, we've kind of minimized some of the opportunities to have a broader, you know, and I
think too often, I mean, we can be a little bit deterministic. Like some people are good at this and other people are good at that. And I think while that's true, and I definitely think there are specific bents. I'm not dismantling that idea, but I do think we're capable of doing way more than any one of us think we are.
Oh,
and
sure.
The people who say, well, I'd never be good at going to college and I can't learn that kind of stuff. It's like, well, but you did. Because what you're doing right now required a lot of learning, a lot of skill, you know, a lot of dedication. And again, I'm not saying it's the same thing. I understand sitting behind at a desk, classroom or whatever. I understand that's different. And vice versa, you know, people who go to college or whatever and they never get their hands dirty and just think, man, I could never dig a ditch. And it's like, well, you could. There's a shovel and there's dirt. Like you certainly could. And so I think part of what I don't like about the push for college and or trades or whatever is just this idea that people can be good at one thing or the other. And I think we're actually better if we can have some well-rounded experiences. I think that's going to provide us a better path in our life if we can realize I can dig a ditch, I can swing a hammer, and I can also sit behind a desk, and I can also read a book.
Yeah.
And having that ability to do both sides of that equation, I think is actually going to provide, equip you to be, have a bigger tool set for dealing with life.
Sure.
Is that fair?
A broad range of ability is basically what to be able. And I think you bring up a good point. So often, you know, I think we can become judgmental from one end of the spectrum and saying, you know, those nerds on the other end, or, you know, those Neanderthals on the other end, you know, undeveloped, unthought, you know, but there's something to be able to be said for, doing a trade, but yet still getting further qualifications or, you know, or going to a, you know, something that you learn from. I remember when we did our houses, when I was building, you know, I went to like a training, if you will, you know, to be able to do the ARCS block, those, the concrete form construction, CFCs. It's like where you see, it's basically big.
Yeah. Building and form to pour concrete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember, and that was a fun time. I can remember, you know, just going in and, you know, and I enjoyed learning about new technologies in the construction industry, you know, and I think that was beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, to where it's not like you're not continuing to grow in your education.
Yeah.
I think it's just a format that tends to be off-putting at times when we think about in a dramatic sense.
Yeah. I don't blame anyone who thinks about the idea of going to college and wants to puke. You know what I mean? Like this idea of kind of the construct that you have to follow.
Yeah.
And I also don't blame anyone who thinks about digging ditches or swinging a hammer and being told to pick up a shovel and kind of that degrading idea. You know what I mean? I don't, it all makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you made me think, have you ever heard of the Shelter Institute?
The Shelter Institute?
Yeah.
No.
It's where they teach how to, Shoot. Hang on. I gotta Google it because I can't remember the term. Shelter Institute. Timber framing.
Okay.
It's where they do hands-on workshops to teach timber framing.
Oh, wow. Cool.
When you were talking about the concrete form construction and learning new things, my brain went to thinking about learning old things, which is that is, essentially, learning the old school ways of timber framing.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a complete rabbit trail, but
yeah.
I was wondering if you heard of it.
No. Nope.
Anyway, that to me sounds really cool, this idea of going somewhere for this. It's, I think, a week long or 2 week long workshop where you actually construct some sort of barn frame or something in with like 20, 30 people, and you're all learning how to use these tools.
Yeah.
And
the old barn raisings. And
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah.
And I forget where we were. I want to say it was someplace in Texas, but you know, whenever you go to some of these historical places, they'll actually have, you know, workshops, you know, that teach you how to, you know, make a cradle or something, you know, something that people did with, you know, crude, but, you know, hand planes, you know, that kind of thing to be able to, you know, actually mill something, make something out of something. But
you know, there's this new hybrid path you can take. It's not necessarily a trade. It's not necessarily college.
Yeah.
It's a YouTuber. I'm kind of joking, but there's actually this whole realm of career options that your generation and my generation don't even think about.
Which I hear you.
Well, I could learn how to do a thing and show, you know, demonstrate, you know, video it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that combination of skills is actually very lucrative too. Right.
No,
like if
I
you
agree.
Can figure it out and whatever. I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying there's realms that we don't even think about. Another one is a real thing is gamers, right?
Like sure.
People who game
still
and they
blows
video
my mind.
It and they live stream it and people, you know, they can make money out of that. Like that's a real thing. I know it's mind blowing. It really is.
I'm glad it's mind blowing for you.
It is. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like even my like our I'm an older generation at this point, Mark. Like as much as I like to think I'm young, I'm not.
I hear you.
So I mean there's whole career options now that were not even you know, a twinkle in our parents' eyes.
No, I hear you. And I think that's the I will say I think that is kind of the beauty, if I may say so, or one of the advantages of a college education.
Okay.
It's not that you necessarily have to get an education in a specific arena and go into that arena. I would, you know, I know there's probably statistics out there.
Oh,
I didn't
man.
Look them up, but you know, I would say, you know, the minority are actually using their education, you know, based on.
Do you think that's directly proportional to the amount of money you spent?
I don't know.
Like lawyer school, right? Or like
you mean like
you
a
go
doctor
to Harvard.
The more you spend on your education, the more likely you are to be
in that. Yeah, that's my question.
I hear where you're coming from. I could see that.
I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. But I was thinking about it in that context as far as, you know, so often it's about completing something. You know, and going through the process of being able to say, okay, I can commit to this learning process. Therefore, I can commit to this, you know, opportunity. And I am a dependable individual that can be counted on to complete a project.
Yep. I that's a great point. I think there's a lot of things to be learned by going to college that aren't exactly the thing you're learning, right?
Exactly.
And
outside of your what do you call that? Your curriculum,
your degree,
Yeah.
And I mean we were briefly talking about the military a little bit, but I think that's true of that avenue as well. Is
sure.
I think both of those directions are a way to short circuit some maturity.
Sure.
I think you know what I mean.
To build it, you mean. To build maturity.
Yes, yeah.
And you said short circuit maturity.
Short circuit to, getting to some mature mindsets of how the world works. And, you know, you got to show up and do what they ask you to do. And
right.
I think.
Whether you feel like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's you know, a 4-year way or 2-year, depending on where you go, whether military or whatever. But, like, you're going to learn that pretty quick.
Sure.
And I think that's a very valuable thing to get out of those.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, that 18 to 22 year time frame is a good time to develop that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think it's important to be able to kind of step away, you know, maybe from some of the family systems and learn how to, you know, think independently.
Yep.
Not that I don't accept influence, but yeah, that's a good life cycle stage development, you know, in that process.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as you think about it, and granted, kind of, I think another part of the college thing or pressure I felt early on was, you know, it was going to be impossible to, you know, have a good income to support a family on, I think was another thought that kind of went to the only way to really make a living.
Yeah.
The really only way to really make a living is to get a college education.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Old school thinking of like,
yep.
Don't you want to support your family? Well, you better get to college. You know,
exactly.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I don't think that's necessarily realistic, you know, when we think about, you know, the kind of money that it takes to go to school now.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think about, you know, as I'm, you know, working with younger kids, not younger kids, but young adults, you know, recognizing the level of indebtedness they have to school. That's difficult for someone from my perspective to stomach in such a way that says, okay, you know, we have basically what we could buy a house for into a 4-year education or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't seem like it should be that way.
Right. Which number one, I'm fully agreeing with you, but
you can disagree as well.
But secondarily, I think it's an investment, right? Like that's the whole idea. And so, if you know the argument, it's not that difficult to combat the argument you just made, even though I fall on your side of it, to say, yeah, but does that mean you shouldn't start investing right now for retirement? Right? Like, of course you should. Like, it's gonna pay, you're gonna pay money right now for something you're not gonna see for years and years and years and years and years, right?
Yep.
Like, and so. You know, obviously provided the argument can be made. Yeah. You're relying on that. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, education, absolutely. That's how it's sold. And I think there is truth to it, depending on where you went, what you know, whatever, what you got out of it. So you can't discount that side of it either.
So just out of curiosity along that line, do you think where you got your education makes a difference? Say Harvard versus, you know, what's your take on that?
I mean, I feel like I've heard a lot of different podcasts about this kind of thing. Uh-huh. I listen to Malcolm Gladwell a lot.
Okay.
You're familiar with him?
I know of the name.
He really likes to dismantle the idea of certain prestige of certain colleges. Mm-hmm. And there's this one report that comes out every year of the rankings of schools. And he just talks about how corrupt that process is and how Columbia got to number two. And they basically just lied about everything.
Oh, wow.
And therefore got to number two. And he just, it was a very good, very good episode.
Oh, wow.
I really enjoyed it. And so when I hear intellectuals like Malcolm Gladwell kind of busting on the system of education, it really sours me to it even more.
Okay.
That being said, there is a lot of value in the networking opportunities. And
agreed.
That's what Malcolm Gladwell would say. Like, that education at Harvard, is it worth more than education at Penn State or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. I mean, depending on who you're learning from, there might be some professors that truly are excellent, you know, whatever.
Realistically, that networking process is available at either school.
No. He would say the networking opportunities you get through Harvard are much greater.
Okay.
Much greater because of the people that you're rubbing elbows with have influence or know people with higher influence. And you basically the trajectory of coming out of Harvard is much higher than coming out of some other ones not necessarily because you're learning more, but because you're rich people, okay, you know, hanging out with rich people who know other rich people.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I was, that's where I was, that's why I was kind of, because when you were saying, you know, I figure, you know, like when you said Penn State and Columbia, you know, your people at Penn State would still know other people.
Correct, but they're not going to know the same level of people. IBM, right? Like, or I gotcha. You know what I'm saying?
No, no, I hear you.
So yes, you might, you'll still, that's, I would say that's an advantage of going to college, period, is there are networking opportunities you gain through that, whether it's from class, you know, co-classmen and or you know, professors or whatever. Certainly there's some networking opportunities there that you probably can't get, you know, without doing that. So I think there's value in that too. I think there's a lot of value in higher education. That's why I was saying I would never argue there isn't, but I'm very much with you in the sense of we don't need to shove it, force it down our kids' throat. Like, there are other ways to get the same opportunities.
So now, realistically, I'm understanding there's other ways to
say the same opportunities, but you know what I'm saying, there's other ways to get opportunity.
So I realize there's other ways to, you know, pay, there's, you know, different ways to pay for your education as well.
Yeah,
you know, in that process,
hard knocks
you know. But as we were, you know, kind of looking into the topics, you think, you know, roughly the average cost, you know, for in-state was like $120,000. And then, you know, a private school is like $220,000. And then, you know, your Harvard education was like $330,000.
Yeah.
In that process for 4 years.
Yep.
And when I think about that, it's like, can you really offset that?
Right.
Difference. And granted, I'm simple thoughts in that process, you know, when I'm looking at how much, and granted, does everyone who goes to that university still have all of that same networking opportunity even?
Right.
You know, that's the other part of it, I guess, is, you know, I think about it and it's like, where do you draw the line? And granted, I, you know, me personally, I think, you know, an education shouldn't cost. I'm not a socialist, but yet there's a part of me that is able to recognize, okay, where does this line, you know, where do we draw this line as far as how much we saddle the next generation with this, you know, this educational dynamic. And granted, that's probably another topic for another, you know, discussion as far as, you know, educational costs, that kind of thing. Where does that, how much of that is, how's that derived in a way that, you know, doesn't just say, well, you know, if the government's going to pay for this, you know, we just keep going, you know,
because
you can get
going north.
Yeah.
The prices,
you can get loans and, but yet somebody ultimately is going to pay someday, you know, that kind of thing, but different.
Yeah.
Where do you draw that line, I guess, is what I'm coming back to.
Well,
if
the older I get.
Okay. Fair enough.
The less I see that there are lines, the more I see that so much of the world we live in is make-believe.
Okay.
Right?
How like so?
The value of our dollar.
Okay.
It's not backed by anything anymore.
Agreed.
It hasn't been for decades.
Mm-hmm.
It's a make-believe number that's based on what? Some, you know, someone says, and we believe. If we stop believing it, well, the value goes down.
I gotcha.
And that's you know, so
is education. Is that how you look at education then?
In some ways, yes. I feel like, you know, Harvard, everyone says Harvard's good, so we believe Harvard's good. So we go there, and everyone who goes there is believed to be smarter because they went there.
Sure.
They have higher opportunities because they went there. You know what I mean? It's all kind of just... And again, I'm not saying there's no truth to it, but I am saying, you know, you ask where the line is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think there, I feel like it's just all so abstract and arbitrary already. So how could we say that there's a line?
I gotcha. I'm going to bring it back to a little more practical aspect. Mia comes home and basically says, I want to go here.
Yeah.
Blank. and you're starting to automatically, those numbers that we just talked about are going through your head. It's like, okay, whew, that's a good choice. That's on the 100, yeah, you know, version. Or, oh my goodness, she actually picked that choice.
Right.
That's the $300,000 version.
Right. Well,
what's your next conversation going to sound like?
It's going to sound like, I mean, it's just going to be a conversation with Mia about.
Sure.
Here's the reality of you choose that. We're not paying for that. There's no way we can afford that. Or, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? We're not taking on that debt.
Okay.
If you can figure out how to get, you know, scholarships, whatever, certainly mm-hmm. that's amazing. Certainly we'll do our best to help, but we can't.
Yeah.
We're not a Harvard family. I'm sorry. We're not. And if that's the direction you want to go, you're going to require some supernatural help that comes from way beyond your parents.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's that conversation.
Understand. But
honestly, this is a brand new conversation. Yeah, probably should have been talking about much more before now, but Megan and I are just beginning the conversations about what that looks like. And yeah, I'm kind of more in the camp of, I think the kids are going to have to figure out more than they're going to want to. We're not going to be able to afford to put three kids through college, like $100,000 mm-hmm. college.
I got you.
That's my perspective right now.
Sure.
So I honestly, it really comes down to, hey, is that really the kind of debt you want to saddle yourself with?
Precisely.
And having those conversations and advising them. Maybe I wouldn't do that if I were you, but if you believe that, you know, because that's the thing too, is kids at Mia's age, and that's part of what Megan's been saying, is just like, she can't know right now.
Mm-hmm.
As smart as she is,
no,
as
I hear you.
Intuitive as she is,
mm-hmm.
like she's 16.
Yep.
Things are going to change so many times. I mean, like you, helicopter pilot to rifleman to you know, military to all those things is a perfect example of kind of what this time of life looks like. Is the sky's the limit, and I have, you know, 22 ideas, and all of them could be amazing, and I'll do great in any of them, and reality starts to set in. And so there's some of that too, where why would I encourage my kid to saddle themselves with $100,000 debt when I'm not convinced they'll use it? You know what I mean? And
there is that part that says, okay, there's a process here, and you know, when we're getting an education for a job that may not even exist, you know, right now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you think about it. And then on the other hand, I think about it from that trade perspective, you know, to where, for that same, I'd say that same 4 years, you know, you don't necessarily have the, you know, the indebtedness.
Yeah.
And yet you can, I think
you could inverse the situation essentially, right?
Sure.
From what we were looking at with the numbers.
Sure.
It's pretty close to that.
On average in the trades, you're able to, you know, make around $50,000 a year, give or take, on average.
So in 4 years you've doubled.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're discounting the investment side of that, right?
Yep. We're acknowledging there is a investment, but you're not paying funds for it. You're giving of your time in such a way that says, okay, I am learning a process. I am learning a trade, and therefore I can take that forward.
Yep.
And I think for me, the only drawback to that is it's less transferable.
Trades. Yeah, that's true. But I think that's often packaged as its own benefit.
Sure.
Not the not transferable part, but the kind of the cousin to that argument is this thing will always be around.
Sure.
Right? And I think that's kind of the sold as a benefit to the trades.
Sure.
Is
no doubt.
You should just go this route because everyone's always going to need their haircut. Everyone's always going to need their pipes cleared. You know, that kind of thing where, you know, what you're going to school for, you know, might not be a thing in 5 years.
Exactly.
But like you said, there's a transferable, education seems to be a little more transferable.
Sure.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Interesting.
When you and that's where, you know, to where that 4 year investment, I may not necessarily be able to recoup if I decide that, okay, yeah, I've done my 4 years in this and, you know, I don't see myself being able to do this, you know, indefinitely.
Yeah.
So I may need to, you know, get a little higher education to be able to add to that and recognize, okay, I didn't have, I had an investment, but at least I'm not in debt in this point, and I have some resources to be able to put towards my education, or I build my education in a slower manner.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, I can avoid some of that indebtedness, you know, versus just going through the process of getting a degree in 4 years and being able to say, oh, shucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also the it's a kind of complementing the maturity argument about being forced into a institutional thing can kind of help increase maturity, but also the nature of having no money during the time where you're just learning how to be a mature adult is, I think, in some ways beneficial, where if you give someone, you know, $50,000 a year and they're 20, where does that go? It goes into new shiny things, probably, right?
Like, I hear you.
I think there's
you mean as far as an income, if you're actually making that versus giving, when you were saying a college, I was thinking tuition, paying a tuition.
I'm saying being a poor college student is probably a safer way to be in that at that age than being given $50,000 a year and saying, you know, be wise. And because I was thinking about, again, the investment side of things and how college is an investment. And if you entered the trades and started making decent money and you started to invest that, you'd probably outpace the college people no matter what.
Sure.
Because, what's the word? Compounding. Interest. Like you could definitely.
In theory,
In theory, right? Because you start that compounding interest sooner.
Yep.
Could certainly, in theory, I think, outpace a lot of college students because you're just that far ahead of the game and you could start investing that.
Sure.
Does that happen? No.
Rarely.
Well, I mean, you'd have to have some significant upbringing.
Sure.
To really enforce that into you and or just be bent a certain way. Certain people obviously would be, but does that make sense?
No, it
like
does.
I think if you could somehow manage to train that, then they you could definitely outpace the college. Most, you know, again, we're talking about averages or whatever.
Yep.
I also think too, I've thought a lot about this a lot in my life, how opportunity isn't always tied to, you know, whatever your skill set, whatever you have under your belt isn't always tied to opportunity. Sometimes opportunity just looks like hard work or looks like having character.
Sure.
Right. And so, and sometimes not. Sometimes it's tied to you look shady and we need some shady. but I think more than anything, whether you go to trades or whether you go to college, building that character and building those, you know, mental models to be able to think and deal with life, that's what's most important, I think, in both directions, because opportunities are going to come to those who are prepared for it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I just went several different directions and came back. But,
that's all right. Yeah. That was a pretty short trip. Nice job.
I know. It's like, which way? No.
So yeah, it's just, it's an interesting thing to think about. And I think about it, you know, I guess when I think about, okay, what's the purpose of the podcast when you know, break it down, I think there is a lot to be said for, you know, getting an education and the ability to build off of that. And yeah, I'm going to recognize that's not for everybody.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I think our culture tends to, you know, value that maybe a little higher than we should in some cases, that, you know, I'm going to go off to college and I'm going to it reminded me I'm going to go off to college and then I'll be able to get a career and be successful. And yet I think there's also some character involved with that. As you were, you know, from my perspective, what I heard of you at the end, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, still continue to recognize that who you are makes a difference in either process, yeah, as far as what you do with those finances, whether you're in a, you know, you're starting from a trade or whether you're just basically saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to go this much in debt. I think there's, you know, two ends of a spectrum there, and being able to say, okay, yeah, do I need what, I guess I'm thinking about boiling it down to, you know, what is the purpose, you know, and do I want to have money? I want to have lots of money right now, or, you know, I want to have lots of money in the future. Either way, I think you're kind of looking at an empty, you know, life with that perspective.
Yes.
And, you know, being able to boil it down and say, okay, yeah, I may not be feeling led to, you know, go to higher education. Not that you don't accept influence from family and say, hey, you know, but I also think there's something to be learned in that process, you know, that there it's not a end all be all. As far as, you know, the education is concerned. But yeah, I guess I'm thinking about it in the, as far as the topic itself.
Yeah.
Being able to think about it in such a way that says, okay, what am I designed to do? And being able to recognize that if I'm obedient in that process, by God's grace, I will find success.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I think so often we can tend to define success by income. We can tend to want to define it that way. And I don't think that's always beneficial. I think that's rarely beneficial.
Or other income derived, you know, parameters.
Sure.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think fulfillment in what you do on a daily basis matters more than the amount of money you make.
Sure.
And if you are fulfilled in what you're doing, you'll likely make the money you need.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
I do.
And there are artists who make almost no money, but they're happy and they do it, and, you know, and that's all they need. And
exactly.
There are corporate, you know, lawyers who make a bajillion dollars and they're feel unfulfilled. And
yep.
You know, there's also ones who are fulfilled.
Sure.
I think that's also its own caricature.
And I think that's a part of, you know, that process of doing what I, you know, believe or feel I was designed to do.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said for that.
There's also something to be said for influence. So, you know, if you have a desire to be the president, for instance, going to law school is not a bad idea.
Understood.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Versus going to a trade school. Does that make sense? I think there's going to be some, you know, outside of providence and grace, there's going to be some natural limits to the amount of influence you have depending on the tracks you choose. So depending on what you're, I mean, but again, do presidents know they want to be a president when they're in high school? I suppose there are probably a few that
I hear you
that felt that way. I don't.
Yeah,
okay, that's it. We're gonna have to get some ex presidents on here.
Yeah,
yeah. How many are there now?
Reagan's alive? Not available anymore.
I don't think so.
But I was thinking he had a Hollywood career.
Carter too. Just
oh yeah.
Or was that his wife?
Either way,
that was his wife.
I think so.
I think he's still
okay. But yeah. We could get the Bushes. They're still all available.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all Clinton. Right. Clinton's available.
We'll do
Obama's
that.
Obama's
we'll
available.
Do that, then.
We'll touch base with our people.
Yeah. But just imagine if we went to Harvard and we both had lawyer degrees, maybe that's in the realm of possibility.
I hear you.
Probably not so
probably
much
not.
For we're the reality of who we are.
But yeah. Where we right. come from.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, appreciate the discussion, Justin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always good to chat about how we see it.
Yeah. It's a good, and I think, you know, in some ways it's a good life cycle sage. Cause I think that was another, probably even more so what prompted that was, you know, Dean and I, you know, have kids in
Dunkelberger.
That, yeah. Dean Dunkelberger and I were in we have kids in the same kind of era, you know, going to college, graduating from college, you know, working through the trades, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to recognize, yeah, each of our kids is different, you know, and being able to recognize, okay, you know, they're going to, by God's grace, they're going to get it figured out, you know. And if they're just walking in that obedience to the design, you know, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
By God's grace.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. And like, I think from our perspective, we see it's more about the process than the actual specific details.
Yep.
So it's easy to go, well, if you choose a trade, it'll be okay. If you choose college, it'll be okay.
Exactly.
But not every parent has that perspective. It's kind of like, you have to do it the way I did it because that's how it works. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Because of the pressure I felt.
Yeah, and I did it this way, and I was successful. Therefore, this is the path.
Sure,
right. This is the way.
Yep, no doubt.
Mandalorian reference.
There you go.
This is the way.
There you go. This is how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do: subscribe, rate, review. Follow us and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.